We are emphasizing prayer this year, and especially praying for America. Now, I know I'm going to get into trouble for this one, but here goes anyway. One day, Joe, Ken, and Larry were doing their macho hiking in the wilderness area when they came upon a large, raging, violent river. They needed to get to the other side, but they had no idea how to do it. So Joe prayed, and he said, "Please, God, give me the strength to cross this river." Poof! That's how God answers prayer, right? Poof. That's how we think He answers prayer. Poof. God gave him big arms and strong legs, and he was able to swim across that river in about 2 hours, although he almost drowned a couple of times. Seeing this, Larry prayed to God and said, "Please, God, give me the strength and the tools to cross this river." Poof! God gave him big arms and strong legs and a rowboat. He was able to row across the river in about an hour after almost capsizing the boat a couple of times. Ken saw how this worked out for the other two, so he prayed to God and said, "Please, God, give me the strength and the tools and the intelligence to cross this river." Poof! First, God turned him into a woman. Second, she looked at the map. And then she hiked upstream a couple of hundred yards and walked across on the bridge. Okay, so I'm only in trouble with half of you. Yeah. We need to be more specific in our prayer life. Because you know, when we pray, you just might get exactly what you prayed for. Prayer has long been a part of the lives of God's children. Old Testament Jews desired to pray because they believed God wanted them to approach Him. They didn't fear God the way pagans did their gods. In fact, the rabbis said that the Holy One yearns for the prayers of the righteous. In fact, the rabbis said that yearning was a scripture probably from Psalm 145:18 that says, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, all who call on Him in truth." No true Jew with a right spirit ever doubted God's priority for prayer. The rabbis rightly believed prayer was not only communication with God, but also a mighty weapon that released His power. The Jewish teachers went even further, teaching the people to pray constantly and to avoid the habit of just praying only when they were desperate. One of the rabbinic traditions taught, "Honor the physician before you have need of him." That's the right perspective. Prayer was not to be used just for emergency appeals. It was to be an unbroken conversation built upon a living, loving fellowship with God. Now, in spite of such a great heritage of prayer, several faults gradually crept into Israel's prayer life. First, their prayer lives became a ritual. The wording, the forms, the prayer, the time were all set. And then they were simply read or repeated from memory. Prayers easily became a routine, semi-conscious religious exercise with no personal conversation with God. Now there were those Jews who had sincere hearts, like Daniel, who used the times of prayer to worship and glorify God. But others, like the scribes and Pharisees, recited the prayers meticulously, making sure to enunciate every word and syllable perfectly. They began to develop prayers for every object and every occasion, including prayers for light and darkness, fire and rain, the new moon, travel, good news and bad news. Now, I'm sure their original intent was to bring every aspect of our lives into God's presence. But by categorizing prayer to specific times and occasions, the Jews turned prayer into a habit. It was a habit that focused on a prescribed topic or situation, not on genuine desires or need. Now again, in spite of that, some faithful Jews used those times as reminders to approach God with sincerity and a pure heart. Let me say it's probably safe of us to say that most of us learned about prayer by being taught prayers we just repeated. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for our food. But then we learn prayer is much more, but still simple. It's talking to God. God is listening and He wants to hear what's on our hearts. Soon we begin to let the kids lead our prayer times. And that usually turns out like the 4-year-old boy who was asked to say prayer before the Christmas dinner. The family members bowed their heads in expectation and he reminded them, fold your hands. He began his prayer thanking God for all his friends, naming them one by one. Then he thanked God for mommy and daddy, for brother and sister, grandma and grandpa, and all his aunts and uncles. Then he began to thank God for the food. He gave thanks for the turkey and the dressing, the fruit salad and the cranberry sauce, the pies, the cakes, even the Cool Whip. But then he paused, and everyone waited and waited. And after a long silence, the young fellow looked up at his mother and asked, if I thank God for the broccoli, won't He know I'm lying? Secondly, their prayers became long. By the time of Jesus, the religious leaders celebrated long prayers. Jesus warned of those who, for a show, make lengthy prayers. Now, I understand that a long prayer is not necessarily insincere. I just don't want you to think that in order to be sincere, prayer has to be long. When Peter was sinking in the water, he didn't pray a long prayer. What did he pray? Help! That's the only time in the Bible we have a word of prayer. Now, if you start to see yourself in some of this, it's okay. That's what it's there for. At least in part, one reason that prayers became so long was that their prayers also became a show. Not only in Mark's reference, but also in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warned about this very thing. In Matthew 6:5, Jesus said to the crowd, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. It's just a show. Excuse me. They began to use prayer as an opportunity to parade their spirituality before men. And it robs prayer of its primary purpose, to glorify God. Fourthly, their prayers became meaningless repetitions. Perhaps one of the Jews' worst faults was adopting the pagan religion's practice of meaningless repetition. Just as the prophets of Baal in their contest with Elijah, they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, and then they continued raving until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Hour after hour they repeated the same phrases, trying by the quantity of their words and the intensity with which they were spoken to make their God hear and respond. In contrast to those who use meaningless repetition, Jesus says in Matthew 6:8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Prayer, more than anything else, is sharing the needs and burdens and hungers of our hearts with a God who cares. God's purpose in prayer is not for us to inform or persuade Him to respond to our needs, but to open sincere and continual lines of communication with Him. Truth is, He wants to hear from and commune with us more than we could ever want to commune with Him. Because, truth is, His love for us is so much greater than our love for Him. Having said all that, Jesus' prayer life stood in stark contrast to all the hypocritical practices of His day. One of the best ways we can learn about effective and powerful prayer is by looking at the prayer life of Jesus. Now, although the Gospels don't give us a detailed biography of Christ's life, they do offer captivating glimpses into His prayer life. First, however, perhaps it'll be helpful to answer a question that is sometimes puzzling for Christians. Why did Jesus pray? I mean, after all, if Jesus is God, why did He need to pray? Theologically speaking, I seldom get theological, but theologically speaking, so don't dwell on this. It's just for help in answering the question. Why did Jesus pray? Theologically speaking, there are at least three reasons Jesus prayed. First, Jesus prayed as an example to His followers. It's an example we continue to learn from. It was His example that prompted this disciple to say to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John taught His disciples. It was an example. Secondly, the incarnation. Now, that's when God became flesh. That was the first Christmas morning when Emmanuel, God, was with us. John 1:14, God, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The incarnation consists of both divine and human natures. From His human nature, it was perfectly natural for a Jewish believer to pray. Thirdly, the nature of the Trinity. How many of you understand the nature of the Trinity? I don't. But the nature of the Trinity allows for communication between its members. As God the Son, Jesus could pray to God the Father. I hope that helps some, because we're moving on. Flipping through the Gospels, here are some things we learn from Jesus' prayer life. First of all, Jesus prayed for others. In Matthew 19:13, we read, "Then little children were brought to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them and pray for them." Recorded in John 17:9, Jesus says in one of His prayers to the Father, "I pray for them," that is, His disciples, not just the 12, but all the disciples who were following Him. "I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those You have given Me, for they are Yours." Jesus prayed for others. And it's powerful when we pray for one another. Anybody ever felt the prayers of others for you? Pretty powerful, isn't it? Secondly, Jesus prayed with others. Luke 9:28 says, "Then He, Jesus, took Peter, John, and James with Him and went up onto a mountain to pray." Jesus knew the value of praying with others. And Acts 1:14 underscores the importance of Christians praying with one another. They all join together constantly in prayer. Pastor Jeff shared something on his Facebook this morning, if you saw it, from his studies there in Acts. And it was the verse that says, "And when they had prayed, the building in which they were all meeting was shaken." And they came together and prayed, and it shook the building. And sometimes Jesus prayed alone. Luke tells us in Luke 5:16, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." As much as Jesus understood the value of praying with and for others, He also understood the need to pray alone. Psalm 46:10 is known and quoted by many people, though you may not know that reference for it. "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes it's important for us to be still before God. But the only way to do that, especially in our hectic culture, is to get alone with God. Without people, without the cell phone, without the TV, without the computer, just get alone with God. And interestingly enough, many times Jesus prayed in nature. Psalm 19:1 reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands." What better place to commune with our Creator than among the wonders of His creation? Luke 6:12 says, "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray." Now, He could have gone to somebody's home. He could have gone to a synagogue. And if He were near Jerusalem, He could have gone to the temple to pray. But there were times when Jesus made the decision to just get out into nature and pray. He prayed in the garden. We are surrounded by so much that is man-made. Perhaps, sometimes, it's difficult for us to remember this is not our world. It's God's world, a world created full of wonders for us to enjoy as well as displays of His power. And then let me say quickly, Jesus could pray as a sprinter or as a marathon runner. When they brought the children to Jesus to touch and pray for them, I'm sure each one of them got a touch of the Master's hand and that He whispered or said to each of them a short blessing of prayer. Other times called for more intense and in-depth prayer. As we read in Luke 6, before He called His disciples, Jesus spent all night in prayer. The Lord's Prayer is full of wisdom, but short enough to be easily memorized. His prayers in Gethsemane were powerful and life-changing, but they were so intense He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and He kept at it again and again and again until He found surrender to the Father's will. We too need to be able to offer short prayers, as well as be able to dedicate long periods of time to prayer. Let me quickly sidestep here for just a moment. When Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, "Not my will, but your will be done," He offered a tremendous but seemingly simple insight into prayer. When it comes to prayer, God is in charge. It's no wonder then that one day one of the disciples came to Him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. From just verse 1, we can learn so much about prayer. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, no special occasion, no special time, just praying as He did often in many places. But in a certain place, Jesus was praying. When He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John taught His disciples. Now, if you keep reading, in response to that, Jesus teaches them what has become known as the Lord's Prayer. It's not unlike what He had taught before in the Sermon on the Mount, for example. But without getting into all that, and there is a lot in all that, I want to take just a couple of moments we have left to look at verse number 1 a little more carefully. First, it says, "Lord, teach us to pray." There are many good books. There are many good seminars. There are many good videos. There are many good sermons on prayer. And there are many great men and women of prayer to learn from. But believe me when I say, no one can teach you more about prayer than Jesus. When we ask, "Lord, teach us to pray," we're asking Master, Jesus, Son of God, teach us. We are submitting to the One who knows what prayer is, having learned it through the trials of His earthly life. Even now, after His resurrection and ascension, He has taken up the role of our great intercessor, still praying on our behalf. Eugene Peterson wrote, "There are no experts in the presence of Jesus. We are all beginners. We can all learn from Jesus." Lord, teach us to pray. Second, Lord, teach us to pray. Please notice it does not say teach us how to pray. As we've already seen, these guys knew how to pray. But they wanted more than a prayer life of memorization and repetition. They had watched Jesus pray, and that's what they wanted from their prayer life. Remember the rest of that verse, Lord, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples, they recognized it could be taught. They could learn more about prayer and make their lives, prayer lives more effective. They knew there was more, and they are now willing to submit to Him as learners. And that may be the best thing any of us can do. We all have so much to learn. Third, Lord, teach us to pray. This is a disciple asking on behalf of the other disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. It is a request. But understand this morning, this must now be our request. Lord, teach us. Lord, teach me to pray. Not the disciples. Their lessons on prayer are complete. They now live in the perfect communion with the Lord that we look forward to. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach MCC to pray. Teach me to pray. Fourth, Lord, teach us to pray. Nike would say, just do it. An interesting aspect of the Lord's teaching on prayer is again from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now understand that a location for prayer is not Jesus' point here. It was attitude. If you find it necessary, find the most secluded, private place available that will help you avoid the temptation to show off. When you get there, shut the door and close out all distractions so you can concentrate on God and be with Him and Him alone. He gives no prescribed time or occasion for prayer. All He says is, when you pray. Thus giving us great latitude to pray when? Without ceasing. Not all, but much of our prayer life should take place literally in secret. Jesus regularly left His disciples to find a place to be alone and prayed. So, how should you and I respond to this request to teach us to pray? If you are ever to know power and passion in your prayer life, first of all, you will need to pray with a devout heart. Sincerely, seriously, meaning business. Pray with a devout heart, a pure motive, seeking only the glory of God. I'm not here to inform you, you already know. I'm not here to get my way or to come with some shopping list of things I want. I'm here to commune with you. Secondly, you also need to pray with a humble heart. Seeking only the attention of God and not men, humble yourself and pray. Our theme text, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will do what? Humble themselves and pray. You need to pray with a humble heart. And finally, you need to pray with a confident heart. Knowing, not believing, knowing full well, God already knows what you need. If you go to God on those terms, He will reward you in ways you could never imagine, and you'll learn the value of being alone with God. Let me ask you something. How many of you have a friend, it may be a spouse, it may be a co-worker, it may just be a friend, that you can share things with that you'd never share with anybody else? You might have friends like that. How many of you have that relationship with God? That's what He wants. Just come and let's me and you be BFFs. Are you ready? You ready to ask, Lord, teach me to pray? See, all of that begins with that first step of saying, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to become a learner. And I want you to teach. I want you to teach me the power of prayer. Father God, this morning, our walk with You in every dimension begins with that surrender. Surrendering our hearts to You in repentance as we give our lives to You, seeking salvation in no other name but Jesus. surrendering to you in Christian baptism, to follow yet again another of your examples, to have our sins washed away and to rise in a new life in Christ. Help us, Father, to surrender everything. And then, Father, teach us. Teach us as we grow to become a better disciple, follower of Christ, how to pray. How to pray effectively. How to pray powerfully. How to pray personally. Lord, teach me to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.